Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
How are we all, queens? Oh my God, January is nearly done.
Bye, biatch.
We only got 1 week left of this mother flipper. Thank fuck.
And don't let the door hit you on the way out.
I think 2021 is chaotic energy already.
Woo! We've all seen it.
What the fuck? Okay, 2021. Damn, yeah. Girl. Damn, homie.
Yeah, damn. You okay? You need a drink. You want to sit down?
You want to talk to somebody?
Like, it is. Yeah, I think it was just like it was just totally the kind of like fuck 2020. Sit up, back here, and then we couldn't celebrate the new year. That was hard. That's a weird.
So maybe she's angry at us.
In all my years, I've never not celebrated New Year's.
Well, I got a party.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A New Year's Eve party every year. I rarely go. I love a quiet New Year's Eve personally.
I love a big party. This is
what did we do last year?
I'm usually always hungover.
What did we do last year?
Which is hard.
Huh? What did we do last year?
Went next door to my neighbors, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was fun, actually. And then the year before, me, you, and Jack just hung out.
Which was nice.
I like that. I like a small group.
Yeah, but we couldn't even do that.
I know. Look,
here we are.
Here we are. So, girls, a reminder to go buy our merch. We've got new merch. It is our Still Sexy line. We've got hoodies and we've got totes. The totes are €25. They're organic cotton. They're from the sustainable region on Teespring. We hear you. We see you. We love you. And we welcome you into our tote gang.
Yes, and they're big.
They're really big.
Your laptop.
Way much bigger. Way bigger than our old
totes.
They're
a big old bag.
Kind of like I made the analogy last week. I was like, these are kind of like a sports bra, whereas like our old totes are kind of like a comfortable, you know, and functional, has its place.
An Urban Outfitters out from an under little
exactly
cami.
Unlined vibe. So go pick them up. The hoodies are really, really nice quality as well. And we were able to get them a little bit cheaper. Got the price down on them too, girls, because they obviously don't have like the front and back printing. And also they're cheap in general because, as I said last week, honeys, go search black hoodie on ASOS.
On ASOS. And you'll dare you.
Yeah.
And if you want to purchase one, you'll be handing over a cool €100 or so €80.
These are 40 quid. And if you're...
I almost had that Jaded London one in my fucking basket for some reason.
Oh,
I got
really?
Totally lured in.
Oh my God. So if... Yeah, also, girls, if you are an ex-gal, you obviously get a really hefty discount. So triple X girls get 20%, X girls get 15%, and that is all the time, all day, every day.
Yes. So if you want to join up to EX girls, then I would suggest you wait till the start of the month.
Yeah.
So anyway, this week on It Girls we have Marty Guilfoyle,
an absolute ledge bag, sweetie pie,
and a new
friend of the pod.
We had a great chat with him.
Yeah, it's going to be something that we're going to be doing in the next year. We're going to be getting on, being connoisseurs of an online scandal ourselves. We are planning on getting on
constantly,
whether we want it or not. So we are planning on getting on.
We don't look for it.
I know.
It finds us.
Multiple people who've gone through something similar, or maybe who might have a different perspective to us. So this is the first one of the year. If you have any requests for these people as well, I mean, they do not have to be Irish based, preferably beyond Ireland. Do let us know if there's someone who you would love to hear who maybe went through a scandal or a cancellation or some sort of online drama.
Especially when it's taken out of context, which happens to us regularly. And in this case with Marty, I think we can all agree, hopefully, that it was just totally insane.
Yeah. So if you don't know,
and unnecessary.
If you don't know, go over to our Instagram. We're gonna have some info up on it there, but also listen because Marty does a great job of explaining what happened and the ramifications and how he felt after, during, and now, because he is a legend. So girls, please enjoy Marty Guilfoyle.
Hey, Marty.
Hey, Marty.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Welcome to It Gals.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Oh, it's great having a fellow radio voice on the pod.
Can you give us your best radio voice there, Marty?
Okay, so I'll let you in a little secret. Well, you guys already know, but I mean the people who are listening. So I think your mics, from looking at them here on Zoom, are the same. They've got like these really cool compressors in them that make your voice sound all deep and sexy and shit. But I'm off my my headphones mic right now, so I probably sound a little bit different. Like,
you still got that bass, so, baby.
Yeah, it's all about that bass.
That's all about the bass, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So I we just got this new equipment. Like, I love to be like, hello, 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 Dublin. And hope you're listening up on it. It's a beautiful day out there. Hope you're enjoying it. Get out there. You know? It's always a man. I don't know. I must have been a man in another life because I always go to this like male.
It's the bass.
It's like this male, like rotund man who maybe always has to, like, if he's in the studio, will always have like a bag of crisps that he's munching on.
Well, you do have a real deep voice. And like, I remember, I'm not going to say who told me this, but they were, I was told that, like, you know, that sometimes you do your best radio shows when you're hungover because you sound dead. You've got that sexy, husky voice.
Yeah, so anyway. That's actually true. And we've done a few podcasts hungover. You do have that kind of husk in your voice, a bit more bass.
And then you're listening to yourself in your headphones and you're like, okay, I could definitely get used to being hungover doing a radio show for sure.
Yeah, like, I could definitely have been
that rock star lifestyle.
Remember that ad that was out years ago? 1869 69 69, let's talk to women and maybe more. I was like, I definitely could have been that little little jingle with my deep
ass
voice.
They still do those over in the UK because I listen to Joe Curry. I listen to his radio show a lot, and he always ad running during his show, and it's like, are you looking for an affair? We have plenty of people looking for an affair as well. Find your match here. And it's just like, that is just so gas.
So gas. And also
an ad for it on the radio.
Incredibly grim, but I would love to ring one of those phone numbers up on the podcast and see. I've always was so intrigued, like, what happened? What are these women saying? Where are they? Are they in some kind of call center, or are they just at home?
Say they're working from home.
They're working from home.
Well, like, a lot of them are working from home. You can watch documentaries on that, and they're interesting because a lot of them are literally, like, they could be doing their R&D, their baby in one hand, and then, like, the phone... The phone on loudspeaker and they're ironing away.
Girl boss vibes.
Just trying to talk. Oh my goodness. Breastfeeding whilst sexting.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
The original, OnlyFans girls can walk. Run because these women walked. They have, you know, set the pavement for the OnlyFans girls.
And it was so much more anonymous because it was just on the phone.
But you didn't even know who you were talking to. Like, it could have been a guy for all you know. Like, and you're like literally getting so turned on by someone on the phone, you don't even know what they look like.
So innocent. I wonder how many times that.
So much easier. Like, so much easier. Imagine that we were to all, like, you know, hook up and get with people and, like, you know, meet the loves of their lives through their voice.
Oh, like, it's like show. What was that show on Netflix? The one where they didn't see each other?
Love is Blind, where they had a dating show.
Did you know? It was like a dating show where, like, they went on dates through a wall. You should watch it. It's a chaotic.
It was really,
show.
Really good. And then they'd all get drunk randomly, and then they all went, like, on holidays. They chose their couple, and then they went to some, like, resort and had to, like, sleep in the bed and, like,
they had to get married. They had to propose to each other. It was the most insane show.
Some of them are still together and are, like, fully in love.
Love that.
Beautiful.
I'd say, like, a very small percentage of them are, but that's still good though.
Because the paycheck is still coming.
Yeah. But so how have you been finding lockdown 20.0? Like, what are we in now?
Grand. Like, I'm not gonna come on and be all like, oh, it's properly affecting me, because, like, I'd be lying. But, like, obviously it is, like, a small bit to an extent, like everybody. Yeah. But obviously when you hear about the vaccine and stuff, like, my dad got the vaccine there the other day. He's the same name as me. But, and I tried to, like, you know, be like, look, listen, how much do you want for me to go in there as Martin Guilfoyle and go and get the jab instead? Like, but he was like, no, I'm getting it. I don't care.
Could you not use his little passport thing? Do you get some kind of passport that shows that you've got it? It could be like the new fake ID.
If he has if his date of birth is on it, and what we're going to be talking about as well later on, like, I don't want to really be adding 23 years.
I mean, probably me even suggesting that, they'll be like, look what Lindsay's even suggesting. It's disgusting.
But yeah, like, it's going okay. Like, I got myself this kind of home gym that kind of keeps me occupied as well. I've been eating new types of food because I feel like it's the only thing we can do.
Oh, like what? What have been like your new culinary delights?
Sorry?
What have been your new culinary delights?
Just like more vegetables.
Because you are vegan.
Oh, you're vegan.
I'm not vegan. Sorry. No. I need to get across. I'm not. But like, I do eat a lot of plant-based foods.
Okay.
And it gets me sometimes, especially when I talk about the plant-based foods that I eat online, because, yo, people are like, aren't you vegan? I saw that you had like leather seats in your car. And I'm like, oh, for God's sake.
No,
I've been vegetarian for 5 years, but like, being a vegetarian means you still get like the nice chocolate and the milk and the cheese and stuff. That's too hard to give up.
And it is also just like so much more cost efficient. Like, I was vegan for a while, and like, it's like I could buy a regular chocolate bar or a €4 chocolate bar that tastes like soil.
Oh,
stop. Like, vegan treats are so hard to find. They really, really are. Yeah. And there's so much meal prep involved that I've only started to really do during lockdown. So I gave it a go for a while. How long did you go vegan for?
I was kind of on and off. I just find it so consuming. Like, I was so passionate about it. And I also found the vegan community to be pretty toxic. Like, it's so hateful. Like, with like stuff like that, like, sorry, is that not a leather seat? Or sorry, the gum on that cigarette is actually a bee's semen. You're like,
Dare I say, like, they're the original cancelers and call out culture, like, warriors.
They love it because they have this kind of like, you know, foundation of like, I'm doing something so good. So even though I'm pointing the finger at everyone else, it's like in the foundation of how good I am. You know the way? So
yeah,
I just totally find it really tiring.
It is tough, and it definitely puts people off doing it because I'd say 80% of my diet is plant based. But I can't even say that because when I did say that once, I was told that you can't be 80% vegan. Like, and I'm like, okay, I know I can't because I didn't work out the exact percentage, but that's just what I do. And then I was told, well, then can you use the terminology plant-based instead of vegan? And I was like, oh yeah, whatever, it's crap. So like, that's why I stopped kind of talking about all this plant-based stuff that I eat online, because I was like, I just couldn't deal with the people who really do it, because they do have their community. And like, it is daunting because they literally like live, they breed like veganism, and if you're not 100% in, they just don't really I hate to generalize them, but
it's very religious in a way, and it's very like, it's put on, like, it just has this like end goal of perfectionism, which I just don't think anyone can ever be like 100% anything, you know?
Yeah, of course. Like, that's kind of what stopped me. I was like, I don't, like, I was striving for this like perfect veganism when everything in my life was vegan. Like, I'd be buying, like, I got sent a shaver a while ago, and it was like, don't worry, it's vegan. I'm like, it's a fucking shaver. Or, you know, the way, like, if you pick up like juice in the shop, it will say vegan on the back. I'm like, I'm assuming orange juice is vegan.
Yeah, like, it's become like a marketing ploy, you know, that way. But like, yeah, just if you know, if the end goal is someone being 100% perfect, and then it's just like has this call out element to it, it can just be so toxic, you know?
Yeah.
But you've been obviously working through lockdown as well. As you know, you're a radio host extraordinaire.
Just like yourselves. Yes.
We're on the pirate radio.
When legends meet legends.
Are you still with Spin? Are you?
Yeah. I must be 10 years now with Spin.
Right. Spin is legends status. Like,
it is.
Spin is like the sexier version of radios, because you had those cool cars and you were like, just the stuff was more looser. It wasn't as kind of like, you know, stoic as other radio. Like, you were talking about the celebs and like, having a bit more fun with it.
I get you. I did have one of those cars. That's where I started out.
Spinny,
I started out, I started out in like work experience. I got an internship, and then I moved to being a spinny. Yeah. So it was me and two girls, and we just would drive in convoy around Dublin, and people hated us. Like,
really? They loved us,
but they hated us. There was like an element of kind of like, oh, who do they think they are in their pink minis? And I was like, guys, gosh. I don't think I'm any here. I'm driving a pink mini around Dublin. Like, I'm not exactly like chuffed about it. Like, I just want to be on the radio one day.
But like, the begrudgery of Ireland never ceases to amaze me. Like, it's just like, who do you think you're fucking are? You're fucking radio car. It's like,
yeah,
I'm just out here trying to live.
I remember one of the girls got clamped in the car once, and it just, and like a clamped car went viral. Like, it just shows. This is like a good 9-10 years ago when Facebook was in its prime, you know what I mean, where like you had like pages and stuff, and one of the cars got clamped in town, and it literally, I don't know how many like likes and shares that it had, but it was like, ha ha, they deserve it. Like, what, like, come on, like a car got clamped like anybody else's, you know what I mean?
So was it Spin that you, because the reason that we've been wanting to get you on for a while, but we saw that video, was that made with Spin that you did, where you kind of like, it was like update on like the cancellation and all that kind of stuff? Was that with Spin? Did they do
it? Yeah, did it with Spin. Yeah, I did it with Peter and John within Spin, who one's a videographer and one's a producer, and they kind of came to me with this idea of kind of highlighting the whole idea of people thinking that it's okay to say whatever they want about people. And so we had a couple of people on, and then John turned to me and said, look, I think it'd be a great idea that if I interviewed you off camera for the last episode, which in a way I was kind of hesitant about, because I wanted to make the whole series about other people, which is what we'd done up until, I don't know, it was like episode 4 or 5. And then I was like, ah, no, sure, look, we'll do it. And then that was the video then that you guys saw that was shared. So really happy how it turned out. Like it did really, really well, got great feedback. And then like the people who came on as well were so nice and like given their insight to it too. But it shocked me to find out like how many people have been through it. And then not even for like, you know, how many people have been through it, but for what they went through it for. Like, that's the bit that really got me. I'm talking to people who like literally just could throw up a meal online, or their body might change a little bit where they might lose a bit of weight or put on a bit of weight, and people come at them. And it's just like, it was just shocking to find out what some people say about some people. And I'm just like, whoa, this is literally everywhere.
Yeah. And there's no training for it. You know, that's the craziest thing, is that like the internet is, you know, in a way the wild, wild west, and you can just be going about your normal everyday life and all of a sudden something pops off. Like, I think there's a really good book. I don't know if you've read it. You should, if you're interested in this stuff, which I'm presuming you are. It's called So You've Been Publicly Shamed, and it's by John Ronson. And he does thing where he finds loads of like victims of this kind of like call out culture or cancel culture, whatever you talk, really highly viral moments and how it affected their life. And he goes on to talk about like, because that's something that I think that, and one reason we wanted to talk to you about it is because everyone's there for, you know, the viral moment. Everyone's there for shit popping off and everyone like, you know, joining the pylon. But very rarely is there any like aftercare. And if it is, it's very small. It's usually amongst like a very small amount of people, like your close friends. And then, you know, Lindsay and I have been through it, and there's an immediate reaction, which I think maybe you went through when they asked you to talk about it, is that you're like, I don't want to talk about it again, because then it'll come up again.
Yeah. Or what if I trip up? Like, because it's happened to us so many times where we're so like, we have a point to say, but we'll be so like apologetic. And I'm not saying that, and I understand that what I said, like, you're trying to like catch up with everyone to like armor yourself with protection so they can't like be like, it's funny that she didn't mention that, and you're like, oh
yeah.
So it's really difficult to maneuver. But if you want to so what, obviously we had the video, but we wanted to get you on to kind of like extend the whole story and to see the kind of full arc of the story and how it all went down.
So yeah, so I guess if someone hasn't seen the video, what would be like, if you could
we'll
summarize.
Share it when the episode comes out on our Instagram, so
absolutely
you can watch it and stuff like that. But so what happened? So you got an email. So this all started with the Go House, which is is it still going? It was the Goat House at first.
Yeah.
And then they
it was a Goat House. But like I'd be straight up with everybody when it comes to stuff like this. And I thought the Goat House, the name was just pathetic. I was like, but the thing is that the guys did too. Like, at the end of the day, they were trying something brand new, and they wanted people to talk about it. Now, given the fact that I was like, well, given we're in Ireland, like people are going to talk about it regardless, but yeah. I mean, if you want to call it the goat house, well then yeah, you will probably multiply it by a million because what goat obviously stands for.
And, but it's also kind of funny, and it is in a way clever to like just lean into that kind of stuff, regardless of the like, you know, backlash or people being like the fucking state of them. It is kind of just like, well, as a marketing kind of ploy, you know, like to get people.
Well, like, and the guy, the guys did came up to it. It worked. People were like, did they actually call it the goat house? Like that was like one of the main things that started. But like, I knew that like when I went in, the two guys that organized that I was moving into a goat house. I was like, this is going to get torn to shreds. Yeah. Like,
so hold on, what is goat again? I always forget.
Greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time. Because I always see, but like, so, but like goat is basically the same as like bay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bay means like
before anyone else.
Yeah. You know? Like you're my bay.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
No way. Oh my hey. God.
Like imagine being like,
stop calling people my bae. Before,
yeah. Hey before everyone else.
Hey, but yeah. Oh God. Jeez, I said that to too many people. Guys well, as well.
Like, it's flipped to become this just like, hey, bae, like a kind of hey, boo, or whatever, you know.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that's new to me. Wow.
But that's the actual. So they were saying greatest of all time.
Yeah, greatest of all time, which of course, like if you come out saying that you're in the greatest of all time house, like people are going to be like, who do they think they are? All this stuff.
Yeah, but that's also so ridiculous to insinuate that just because they're calling themselves the goat house, that they actually mean that they're the greatest of all time.
Yeah, you know? But see, that's the thing. Like obviously nobody thought that. I mean, they came up with the name. So like when they asked me to move in and they told me what the name was going to be, of course I laughed and I was like, oh, like I can deal with people laughing at me for living in a house that we're claiming to be the greatest of all time. Like that's like, that's just, that to me would be silly banter. They can slag me all I want. Like, I don't care. Like,
but it's the same as like me and Lindsay, our podcast is called It Gals. Like, it's hilarious. People go, there's the It Gals if we're calling ourselves self-proclaimed It Girls. Which is hilarious.
The whole point of like It Gals is it's like Fight Club. Like, you can never call yourself an It Gal.
Yeah.
That literally, it's like when, it's like calling yourself cool. Like, you're instantly not cool if you're like, you know me, I'm just going to cool.
I'm a cool girl.
Yeah.
So like, but it also, like it, I can understand why they did it because it gets attention and it's like it's internet lingo, it's an internet house and it's like modeled off like the hype house and all these like American,
it's like, internet lingo, yeah, like it's usually kind of attached to like rappers, like people will like share a Kendrick Lamar song and be like the goat or like the emoji with the little goat.
Yeah. it's the emoji is the big one now, I find, amongst the cool kids where they just leave it on a TikTok, just a goat emoji, they just on a TikTok they liked or something like that.
I've done it a couple times like, and I feel cool every time I do it.
You're like, some people won't know what this means.
I'm like, do you know goat means? It actually stands for greatest of all time, and I really think that this rapper is the greatest of all time.
So so like as you said, like you were like obviously cool with like everyone was like, you know, knew that this was probably going to be like slagged to an extent. You know, Ireland doesn't really like different things, especially, and they don't really like people like, you know, even with knowledge going in being like, we are the greatest of all time TikTokers. Yeah. They don't really like that. It's never really like celebrated in Ireland. A lot of places it's not, especially with the internet. But so you were aware that like that was going to get a bit of kickback, obviously.
Of course, yeah. And I don't know if the others did. Maybe some of us, the ones that were like, you know, older and the minority in there did. We were kind of like, oh God, we're going to get this. But at the same time, we were just kind of like a group of people. And I'd kind of already figured out within that group of 10 people who I wanted to kind of be associated with and work with. And like, this is no disrespect to the people that were that were a bit younger than me. But I was like, I didn't see what we do. When it comes to me on TikTok, like, which is where most of my audience is, I just make cringy videos, but the idea of making them is that they're all lighthearted. They're all just a bit of crack. Like if you find them funny, you do. If you don't, you don't. If you think they're cringe, you think they're cringe. Thank you for watching them regardless. And the idea is to try to bring people back to my music.
Yeah,
so I was like, hang on. I've got this massive audience on TikTok and I'm joining up with people who have a similar number, if not more. And we combine to get this huge audience. It's like, well, like my music could really take off. I was like, as becoming a DJ goes, like that's like the most ideal situation you could be in. And that was just the first thing that came into my mind. Like I didn't even know who was going to be in the house when I was asked. I was like just told that there was going to be people. I found out the day before the names of the people. I didn't know who half them were. And then on the day, someone else ended up in the house that wasn't even on the list the day before, because someone else wasn't able to do it anymore. So I was like, hey, everybody. You know?
And like that makes sense, especially for your music, because TikTok is such a like music based app, you know? So like, yeah, I could totally see where that would be so beneficial for a DJ who's trying to get their music out there, especially to, you know, even though you know that you mentioned that like some of them were younger, they obviously have huge audiences on there. And like, then you would be capitalizing on a market that maybe you're not hitting on Spin or whatever, because like your audience are probably like similar age to you and us. But like, if you got that younger audience on TikTok and stuff, like that's a whole other like field.
Totally.
That's literally it. Like, nailed it. Nailed it in the right there for sure. And they're the ones that share videos. Exactly. They're the ones that really love stuff
and make it go viral.
And also you can totally learn from, like, regardless of age, like you can learn from everyone who is like social media is designed to social network and to try and now that like it's, we can monetize on it. Like if you are like thinking, seeing of it as like a business to try and like align people around you, learn from people, like, get information or like, you know, gain followers, like share followers, all that stuff is like in the melting pot of like, you know, something that could potentially be great in the future. And like, I think about, say, the Goat House. If you look back at like Big Brother back in the day, when that started, you know, those people who were on it were ripped to shreds. Like they were totally like mortifying themselves, getting pissed on TV. And now it's like iconic. Still people are talking about it. Like still people are sharing memes. Like, so just because it isn't like appreciated in the time as well, doesn't mean that it won't be at some point.
Yeah.
But so you went into the house and you found it, you didn't know these people, which is understandable because there's so many TikTokers and you're like, what the flip? How have I just stumbled upon this like Irish TikToker who has like a million followers?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I like, for everybody in the house, including the organizers, I met everybody for the first time on the first day I moved in, just to kind of give you an insight to like how that went. And I'll be totally honest, like when I went in and there was, I think, three of the girls arrived together that were younger than me, everyone else in their 20s. I was like, and this is no disrespect to them, and I'm sure they'll get it. They were just really excited and they were like really hyped and they were just teenage girls. They were like 18, 19 years of age and they were just so happy to live together away from home. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to be doing stuff with them. In my head, I didn't mean it in a bad way. It was just like, okay. And then if I bring a new track out, maybe they'll do one of their TikTok dances to it. And then, I mean, if they post a funny TikTok, I already shared on my Instagram story, whatever. And like, it was the kind of idea of cross promotion that you just act as like a big family and you just share everything. Mm. And you mentioned Big Brother earlier on. And the thing is that people did kind of automatically assume it was like a Big Brother or Love Island and that there's going to be cameras in the house and watching our moves and people are going to be hooking up and stuff. And I was like, so far from that. It was like people just living in a house. And if you looked at the people that were in there, everyone kind of did something different online. And it was the idea of bringing it all together and going, here you go. Mm-hmm. And automatically it was portrayed in this mad kind of like Love Island style Irish thing. And I was kind of like, what? Like, just because we were all using resources as well. Like, we were getting our accommodations stuff paid for. Mm. And then they had like videographers, photographers and all. And the idea was just maximizing what you put out and making it as good as possible.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah,
that was literally the idea of the whole thing,
which is so funny. It's just so funny that, you know, you mentioned that like the media automatically portrayed it like a Love Island or Big Brother thing, because it's like they automatically like sexualized it, which is so bizarre, you know, that way, because it's also what they the only thing that they actually understand, I think, because like maybe a lot of these journos and like stuff like that, they're not aware of like the Hype House or like the Team 10 House or this kind of like younger generation of internet culture.
But I don't know how they couldn't be, because when we're talking to like say Big Brother, on Big Brother there were many different ages. There were 19-year-olds. Jay Goody was only like 19 when she first went in, and like she ended up hooking up with someone. But there were also like 40-year-olds who were not involved with that kind of, and that was the beauty of the show, that we had like a lot of different races, ages, like backgrounds. And like, you know, the older people sometimes would be getting so pissed off with the younger people, and it was the like just the social experiment of being able to see how different ages interact and stuff.
Yeah, but I guess like the thing is that like they made it out as if it was going to be a show when it wasn't. It was about like a house to create content. Like there was no behind the scenes house, there wasn't going to be a reality TV aspect to it, but they portrayed it as such. And then when people see that, they like digest it like the shows they know, like Big Brother and Love Island, which always have a bit
like sometimes went like, because it was the first time that it had come to Ireland, I guess they were just going for it and seeing kind of like
what I mean, you know, they're so unaware of like things like the Hype House and Team 10 you know, that way. So like they portrayed it as something that it's completely not, which to be honest, if they did the bare minimum research they would have found out. So you know,
and before I even went in, like I did my research in these places as well, and I saw some of these houses having 40 and 50 year olds in it, because to me, like social media for people has become like a really sought after job, and understandably so. Like the rewards can be great, and you get great job satisfaction out of it, and more importantly, it's fun. So if you want to have a job in social media, like why not live with other people who want to as well? And over in America, the way they do it is that like age, if you want to be big on social media and making money, make a living from it, like it doesn't matter how old you are, you know?
Yeah. I see that with Suzanne Jackson and Eileen Style Queen, like, and how now they have a show on RTE. Like it's for everyone. And it's so polarizing to be like, oh, it's only TikTok is only for this or this person. And like, we have to separate. Yeah. I think we're so obsessed with labeling and segregating everyone, and so, but also people are just looking for an excuse to moan. So you went in there, and how long before, because obviously you said that you were prepared for the slagging, and I remember you said that in the video that you made with Spin, that you were kind of prepared and like you'd mentally prepared yourself for like, they're going to slag us, they're going to call us cringe and corny and like whatever they're going to say. You were able to prepare for that, but then it like, so when did you, so you first started seeing like tweets kind of come in about like
the usual shit.
Yeah, so the first bit that came in that was like unrelated to me, that I was kind of a little bit like not annoyed about, but I hated the way it was assumed of us that we were touching on being racist, because there wasn't a person of color in the house. And even though one of the biggest TikTokers in the world is Irish, and she's great. Her name is Vic. She's great. They reached out to her and they asked her, you know, and there was people that were asked that turned it down, and people just did not think about the process. They just assumed that these guys had an idea, asked 10 people, and they all just said yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that they deliberately left certain people out.
But also, it can be tokenism. Like, say, if they did ask those people, and then they're just like, oh, fuck. Then do you get in your head, oh God, where's a POC? Where's a POC? Come on, find it. Like, that's such tokenism. Yeah. That's insane.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think it should be up to somebody to have to justify, like, even if they did, they shouldn't have to come out and go, before we announce this project, we just want to let everybody know that we asked a load of people from different, like, I think it's mad that you'd have to justify that.
Well,
you know
it
what
should
I mean?
Be assumed, so,
but
you know,
it seems so racist to even say that. Oh, don't buy the word. We did actually ask an Asian, a ginger, and a one-armed lesbian, but unfortunately they couldn't make it. So we have to deal with
literally,
these 10 Caucasian
literally.
People. Like, that's so literally, weird.
Yeah. I know, and I actually got a DM from a person of color who actually was lesbian and part of the LGBT community, and I just couldn't believe that, like, that she was asking me these questions. So there wasn't somebody in the house from either of her communities, and I was just like, and I wouldn't usually reply to like people like that online, but I felt that she was actually properly affected and hurt by it. So I just told her, I was like, look, people were asked, and these are the organizers. If you want to send them a mail, you can. It kind of got to me a little bit, thinking that, like, that just because we've all decided to live together, that it actually affected her, you know, that it got to her that much. And I was like, why does she think that we're after, like, you know, deliberately excluding these kind of people. I don't get it. They just assume. You know
I
what
don't
mean?
Think that, like, just because someone gets offended or affected, I do not think that it's the goat house's fault that they have absorbed something to such a high degree that it's actually personally affecting them. Like, if I was sat at home with psoriasis and I was like, hold on, I don't see any psoriasis representation in the goat house. Oh, that's actually really upsetting me. I'm actually so, my skin is like, no one gives a fuck about it. Like, I mean, that's like, cop on, like go to Spar, get a Red Bull and just do whatever. But like, to write to someone and try and like put them in the position of like, you are responsible for my mental decline, like my kind of emotional state because you didn't represent a black lesbian is
especially
like,
when it's like, but especially when you're talking to like participants at the house, not even the organizers, you know, that way at least like direct your anger at the correct people. If you want an answer from something, like I'm not going to give out to someone who works in Topshop. I'm not going to go up to a sales assistant and be like, it's terrible. There's really not enough representation here to like a sales assistant.
That's fair.
Like, don't talk to the people who just happen to work and live there. You know,
to write to Sir Philip Green that he hasn't put up like...
No, I'm just using it as like an example.
No, but
like,
I mean, like, I just think
that
you should be like... Yeah, I get that. But I also just think like your power is in your view, is in your follow, is in your money or in like what you're paying for. So like, if you don't think that there's enough representation in like Topshop or for a makeup brand, just don't shop there and shop where you do. Or if you don't like that there's no you know, or people of color or whatever, lesbians in the goat house, maybe find a goat house that does have a lesbian and watch them. I don't know, but like,
I know it's weird. Yeah, I like, know what you mean. It's like
there's
what
no
you
one's responsible because like there's no way that you can represent everyone and that everyone's satisfied. And then like, first of all, they're only like, if she's only talking about like, so she's talking about her sexual orientation and her color, but then people will come in, where's the woman with a mental disorder, or where's the wheelchair bound person? Like, it's never ending. So I think to just like to stunt it completely is just to be like, look, we can't alleviate everyone's like, or we can't showcase everyone. That's just the reality of life.
Yeah, but it's the assumptions about people that you don't know that would concern me. You know, it's the automatic assumption that they think that you are a bad person and that you deliberately did that, even though they have never spoken to you before, and they feel that they can literally like create this whole personality for you and talk about how, you know, what type of person they think you are based on something that has probably got nothing to do with it. And that's the bit that concerns me. It's like, you know, and sometimes when people come out and they say these things about you, you just love for them to like sit with you for 5 minutes so you can see what you're really like.
Oh, totally.
That's all you want.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. Like I've happened to me so many times, like the shit that I read about Lindsay and I online, and it's like all of these like crazy assumptions about our personality. And I'm like, if we sat down, if you met me in a bar and we sat down, we would probably get on just fine. We probably agree on 99.9% of things in the world.
Yeah.
Like, and to presume, like, it's the presumption, you're so right, Marty, like the presumption that there was this like, you know, nefarious element to it, or that there was this like, ha ha ha, let's just make a white goat house, or let's just like, it's like, you know, the assumption is just like, that's also bad intended. Like, you're assuming I have bad intentions, but you're having bad intentions instead of like, cause there's a way to ask people questions. Like, I've had DMs in my come through that are like worded so grand. And like, I can tell they might have a problem with it, but they just be like, blah, 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 blah. There's not this like immediate, like defensive element and this immediate aggression. And like, you have no say in the matter. I'm just letting you know how you are. It's just, it stunts any conversation, and it makes them, they're going in with the like preconceived notion of who you are and how you view the world and stuff. And that's just like, it's so stupid.
Well, I think it's like emotional manipulation. Like, when people are writing these like really intense DMs and they're trying to defame you and like discredit your personality and like just label you as like, you're vile. We get it all the time, but like
the vile,
yeah. They love that word.
That four letter word,
And it's a vile word. It's horrible.
So vile.
You know, I always,
and you're like, I'm not vile. How dare you?
I've changed it into a vile. Remember when Billy Bob Thornton and Angelina Jolie had like vials of blood around their blood? I'm like, am I a vile?
I
little? Or when you'd go away to New York and you get a little vial with sand and a fake turtle in it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm a vial. That's such a random thing to call me.
It is. But it is so strange that people can jump to such conclusions about someone they do not know. Like, you know, they're like assuming that I'm what, like going around little kicking old women in the shins. But, you know what I mean?
Like, I don't think, I think the truth of the DM is that they don't actually think those things, and they don't actually care if it's true or not. They just love to, like, you know, just expel this like inner kind of hatred on someone, and knowing, I think it gives them a lot of pleasure knowing that like you are going to open up these DMs, see it and absorb it, and it's like, I don't have that in me anymore, you have it, you're vile,
they want
you're
you
gross.
To feel how bad they feel or felt, you know.
I don't call people vile or gross. I'm able to word, like, you know, if I'm having a disagreement with someone, I don't need to go to name calling or labeling or insult, you know, the way but so, you know,
like,
so
food is the only thing that I ever referred to as vile. That I didn't like. That, like, literally, that is absolutely vile. And when something is absolutely so disgusting, you can't even stomach. So if that's how I use it, and people are calling me that as a human, I'm kind of like, oh, hang on, that's a bit mean.
They always elongate it. Like, if they're saying it in person, they're like, it's just vile behavior.
I'm not a tub of natural yogurt. Like,
I know. So obviously. Like, that started to kick off. There was obviously the representation talk, which also, you know, like, you always get a bit of that as well. I feel like no matter what, like, especially
the climate,
the year that's in it, the climate, it happened right after summer. Obviously, BLM like really kicked off, especially in Ireland this year. So there is always going to be, and like some of those conversations can be helpful. Like, they're not all bad, but like, it's just, it really is just the way in which that they're addressed or asked of. But when did you start to notice like it kind of turning differently for yourself personally, I guess?
A couple of hours in, my manager sent me on a tweet that was basically, it was just like, this could catch fire, but we'll ignore it, or let it blow over and stuff. And it was a girl who I actually genuinely felt sorry for her, and I did feel sympathy for her, because if I was like, that sounds absolutely horrible. And it was basically her implying that I was predatory because it was girls of a certain age younger than me, and that her experience before with a guy who was that much older than her wasn't nice. So part of me was kind of thinking, going, okay, this girl's obviously been through a tough time at one stage of her life, but I felt a little bit hard done by it, because I was like, well, just because that guy was like that with you doesn't mean that I'm going to be like that with anyone. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how old they are. And the problem was, then I found, is that people kind of would log on to Twitter and not know what's going on. They just see what's trending and they click into the trend. And at the time, that was the first tweet that was coming up. So people were reading this tweet that was saying that it was very predatory of Marty Guilfoyle living in a house full of teenage girls, which is just so out of context. Like, so out of context.
That's insane. Yeah, that would be so scary to read that.
Yeah, like, it was kind of like, hang on a minute, like, and I was kind of like, do I post the date of births of everyone else in the house now, or what do I do? I was like, this is kind of weird. Like, I was like, what a weird way of putting it, considering that of the house were teenage girls. Like, it wasn't even like 70 or 80% of them. I was kind of like, whoa. And the problem was, then I found, which you probably noticed with yourselves, was that one person reads that tweet, doesn't do any research at all, which is totally fair. You know, you go onto things and you can read stuff online, you can make up your own mind. But it was the replies to that tweet that I was like, oh my God, people actually believe this. Yeah. And they think that I'm just deliberately being this like predator, and have just put like teenage girls into a house and decided to just live with them. I was like, whoa. And that's when it started to take off, because people were believing that as opposed to going, well, hang on a minute. No, That's not what's happening. And that's clearly not why anybody's in that house, you know? Yeah. And the thing is that what people fail to realize too is that, you know, those kind of tweets affected the girls as well, because the girls are adults, and they were making certain assumptions about the girls, implying that they weren't, I don't know, mature enough to maybe, you know, deal with something like that. Or
It removes all of their professional and personal agency. It's patronizing.
Exactly. It is. It really is. You know what I mean? So it wasn't just me that affected. The girls definitely, for sure, were kind of like, well, why would people think that of us? Like, they think that we're just in here just to get with people. Like, they were like, no, we have ambitions with social media, and this is what we want to do. We want to use our platform to make a bit of a change.
It must have been so awkward, because it put such a weird, like, scent in the room for it to be like, okay, I'm like 19 or whatever. you're 19, shut up. But like, I'm 19.
Yeah, and oh
like,
yeah. Now I'm 40, yeah.
And now I'm with like now I'm put in the, it's like if someone walked into the room and like, Jenny and her dad were there and I'm like, oh, you two look very comfortable. It's
yeah,
like, what?
It's like,
now I feel hugely comfortable and that never existed before, but now you've made it exist and we're all trying to be like, oh, I don't, like, were there conversations being like, oh, I don't think you were a predator, Marty, and you're like, oh, I wasn't going to predator you. Like, that's such an awkward,
I know. And this weird is the, conversation. The problem, there's such a huge problem, Jenny, but like of like these using these terms that they know, like we've spoken about before in the podcast, like people nowadays online, I do feel, and like, of course, if that girl had an unfortunate situation with like an older guy, that's terrible, but like you can't throw around words like predator and like pedophile so quickly, because like these words hold a lot of weight for a reason. And I think that there is also an element to it that they know the weight the words hold, so they use them so that they catch fire. Because if someone calls, like, you know, someone a predator and another person sticks up for them, they're like, well, you're just not sticking up for the victims. And then all of a sudden there's victims, then all of a sudden the girls are teenagers, then all of a sudden, like,
and then all,
like,
of a sudden someone makes like a fake Twitter account and says, I was in Club M years ago and Marty Guilfoyle touched my bottom, you know, like,
doesn't she have a lovely bottom?
See, this was you know what, you're so right, and that was something I actually haven't said before, because then I ended up kind of scanning my DJ career thinking, like, have I ever like spoke to somebody in a flirty way that I shouldn't have, or, you know, the kind of way, and you're automatically overthinking, kind of go,
you second guess everything. Wait, what?
You're like, gee, have I ever like responded to a message on Instagram or Snapchat that maybe they were starting off, and maybe I kind of like continued the flirt, like, oh, and I was like, can they now use that against me? Like, it was mad. I was like, literally, and even now I'm kind of like, if someone messages me or something, like, I'm just so careful what I say back, because obviously it's like, after what happened.
Which really probably has stunted, like, I'm intrigued to know how, like, say in terms of like dating and like that kind of stuff, like, I always thought, like, when this whole, like, you know, with men, it must feel kind of like you're caged in now, because like when I was growing up, like, it was the way that men would talk and flirt and all that was like just, you know, accepted. Now these things that used to be accepted only like 5-10 years ago are now like kind of being like insinuated that it's illegal. Like, things that aren't actually legal, and there's no, like, there's blurred lines between like what's actually illegal, rape or harassment, and then like what someone coming up to you in the club flirting, and maybe you didn't, like, you weren't able to say that you didn't want to flirt, and then that now people are,
or even with messages, that as, because
with,
like,
the same strength as something like,
because like even with like DMs and stuff, like what you're saying, like, because messages can be like, yeah, like any message can be like, any, something can be flirtatious without being sexual, you know, that way. Like, I mean, like, I,
that's
can,
the thing,
you can flirt with your friends, it doesn't mean that you're like trying to like take them home, you know what I mean? So it's like, someone could like message you being like, oh, looking great, Martin, you could be like, ugh, you know, it's like very innocent, you know, like interaction that you don't think about twice, but like, because there's the ability to screenshot and send on, and then that can be weaponized against you, and you know, it can be,
you're like whoa,
and when you've already been victim to something that was taken so out of context, you see the way that things can be taken out of context. Like, so it's so hard when Jenny and I sometimes say a joke that is maybe a bit more controversial, or like just being like ridiculous, like
edgy humor, maybe
we're like, just by the way, we absolutely don't, I'm being sarcastic. I noticed it when I did a couple stories on Instagram the other day. I hadn't been on Instagram in ages, and I said like some joke about, like, someone was like, oh, I just did my degree and I don't really want to work with my degree, like, what do you think I should do? And I was like, you should probably go in the dough, that's what people do, like, if they don't want to work, and just like, it's free money, it's real handy. And then I was like, I'm joking, I'm joking, like, obviously I said it in a sarcastic manner, but just in case that wasn't enough, you know, I felt like I had to cover my ass, which is like totally kind of wrecks the joke, you know?
Yeah. And like, it is kind of blatantly obvious that when you say something like that as well, that you're not encouraging your audience to go on the dole. Like, this is the bit that gets me. It's like, you look at, say, girls, like, you guys have worked hard, you've got your own initiative going on here. And it's like, do people actually think that you're telling people to not work hard and follow their dreams and ambitions and to actually sign on the dole? Like, like, you're not encouraging that at all.
Because
so when someone reads it up that way, they just want to have a go at you. Like,
they,
you
can
know,
just screen record that, put it up, and then write like quite a, like a stern tweet, you know, like the way that tweet that was written about like the predator. It seemed
Marty Guilfoyle,
like a headline, you know, like a headline in the Times.
Yeah.
The way that they write it, like, they purposefully do
that. And
it's
held with the same weight. That's the that's another issue of like society, is that like we hold that with the same weight as an investigative journalist has gone into the goat house and noticed something. It's like when some girl is just seen on her phone for maybe 5 fucking seconds that you're in this house with maybe someone she knows off TikTok, who even knows, and you know, completely personalize it and takes it from her own situation, which is really unfortunate and like I'm sure terrible, but like you can't just, you know, paint everyone with the same brush. So like that
and you
was
can't also use your own past trauma as an excuse to try and pull people down without any like fact. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's also a get out of jail card that I've been, you know, that we have dealt with before. We've said certain things and then they're like, how dare you say that? I was this, I was that. And like the whole point of like offense is like people can be like walking around looking at tweets and everything and they're only, oh, well, that one affected me because I actually have dealt with that myself personally. And it's like,
yes,
okay, well, just don't, like, you know, you're absorbing that in such a mad manner. But then so from that one tweet and it went, then obviously that then, which must have been a scary thing when you had, you said your manager contacted you and they were like, it could, I hate that. We've had that before where they're like, it's usually our friends, where
our
they're
friends
like, hey, I'm
managers.
Seeing something on Twitter. Now, hopefully it won't take fire. And you're it always like, takes fire.
It always does, yeah.
That feeling is like, that feeling is horrendous. Like the first time it happens, you're kind of like, what? But like when it happens multiple times, you're like, oh,
and then you're just
fuck.
Waiting.
I know.
And it can take days. So like, as well for it to it actually can. Start going.
So definitely. You were like trending on Twitter, right?
Yeah. Like, the thing is, like, people forget, like, it's not the first time that I've trended either. It was just the one that kind of would literally ruin my career more than any other time. So that's just why, I think that's why it's been more serious. And I think given the year as well, like the year of cancellations that I think it was kind of highlighted a bit more. But part of me tries to kind of like, you know, kind of sympathize at where the people who are talking about come from. And I'm kind of thinking, well, okay, one thing is like, yeah, I trended ahead of the coronavirus, which is something that I never thought I'd ever say, obviously for the wrong reasons. But like, I mean, like, I have to screenshot, I can get it framed one day. Like.
Yeah, yes, yes.
But at the same time, it's like, would it have blown up if we weren't in the middle of a pandemic and people kind of were out about being kind of, you know, at a bit of normality and weren't glued to their phones as much as they are? Maybe not. It's impossible to say. So part of me does kind of put it down to the fact, well, people are looking for stuff to read and stuff to do. Yeah. And it doesn't make it okay, but it definitely means that anything that someone does that can be considered like a little bit weird or out of line is going to be heightened, you know?
Yeah, no, this year has definitely made people lean into the cancellations more.
I think it's because we're starved for
entertainment,
like, communication and social interaction. And I think we're also angry because we're so like frustrated with the world. So we're just like, instead of, like, I've been loving FaceTiming and having like chats on Zoom or whatever. Like, I've just leaned into it. When it first came, when like first lockdown, I was like, I hate FaceTime. But now I'm like, hey, I'm constantly on it and I'm loving it. But I think other people are like, you know, they just want their, they're focusing, they're kind of, they're not noticing the root of the problem, which is like that they're like missing people and stressed or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're like, oh, this is, I'm getting, because like, I've been, when I started the internet and sometimes we'd be like back and forth with people on Twitter, it is a buzz. Like, you do get some kind of like social like buzzes from like, oh, I'm talking to them and oh, I pwned their ass with that tweet, you know? So you do kind of get that sense of like connection, I guess, which is what we're longing for after the year. But it's just like, you know, a toxic way to do it.
That's
and there's
it.
Definitely better ways.
Completely, yeah. And there was one thing that was said to me, which is like, for anyone who's considering putting themselves out there or who does and is worried about that kind of like, say, hate and whatever, is that like, back, if we were doing what we wanted to do, say 20 years ago, the only way that these people would be able to kind of reach out to you is if they sat down, took the time, picked up a pen, picked up a piece of paper, wrote on that piece of paper, put it in an envelope, and then went to the post office and posted that envelope to you, hoping that you'd read it.
Yeah.
So you ask yourself, like, okay, well, would this person take that much time out of their day and do it? 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. It's just because it's so easy. It's they're literally able to put their thoughts into a tweet and click post, and it's, you potentially see it. Like, would they waste their time writing a letter, getting a stamp and sending it? Probably not. So to me, that kind of was like, when I was reading all the tweets, was kind of going, okay, well, I don't think they actually mean this. I think they're hopping on a bandwagon. Something's trending. And a lot of the time as well, a lot of people, I feel like followers nowadays has become like the new currency. I feel like that you could go up to somebody and go, I'll give you 10,000 euro or 10,000 followers. And they're going to choose the 10,000 followers.
Yeah.
Which breaks my heart. But at the same time, it's like, okay, I don't know who it gals are. But I've seen that they did this. So if I put up a tweet about it and people are agreeing with it, they're going to like my tweet, they're going to retweet my tweet, and maybe I'll get a few followers out of it, you know? And like TikTok does this thing where it's like a top comment, and the comment with the most likes always gets pinned at the top of the thing. And people end up saying stuff that is so horrible. And because people agree with it to an extent, they start liking it and becomes a top comment and they get more followers out of it. And the reason why that is such like a thing is that the exact same comment will be copied and pasted by other users and commented as well. And they're hoping then when people go onto their video that the other person sees their comment as opposed to the one that's the top one, and they get likes as well.
It's so complicated.
There's an element as well of being like socially hungry out of it, you know, where it's like, I don't actually mean this, but people are going to see it. They're going to like it. They're going to retweet it. And then I could actually end up gaining out of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. Like when our last cancellation with the, we said a joke about Movember and they all were saying that we don't give a fuck about men killing themselves. Basically, that was the mental gymnastics.
That was the takeaway from that.
And, you know, I don't, like all these men who had never heard of us before were like, we had one guy send us a video in the stock room of wherever he worked.
It was gas.
And he was like, you fucking this, you fucking that, you don't give a fuck about mental health. We're all out here trying to fucking talk about a fucking mental health and you don't get. And it was like, I don't think you actually think that. I think you just want to go off on one.
Yeah.
And pop off sis. Literally, you know, do it, queen.
And a lot of it can also just be like confirmation bias, you know, because the thing is that like what happens is someone like makes a tweet, say that girl who made a tweet about you. She might have never heard about you, has no context about you, maybe doesn't even have an opinion of you, you know, but then all the people in the comments might be people who've already like, you know, they don't like you for some reason. And now they have an excuse to like, have it to not like you. They're like, oh, I don't like Marty Guilfoyle, and now I've got an excuse. He's a fucking predator. He's terrible. He's horrible. So they just believe anything that confirms their own like, opinion on you that might not even be based in any form of reality. It could be because they saw one of your videos on TikTok and they're like, he's cringe, I don't like him.
Yeah,
you know?
Or so they see us dancing
same
around.
You guys. Yeah, it's like those annoying bitches on the podcast. Oh, I knew they were dicks. Like, you know that kind of way?
Like, yeah, I totally get it.
I was right.
It is the Irish mentality. It is. It's like we just go there before ever going to like give a compliment. Like, it's the same with like, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day and he was like, do you like U2? And I was like, yeah. They have a hell of a lot of deadly songs. Yeah. They are fucking genius. They are amazing musicians. And he was like, that's how you know a good person.
It's true.
Someone who can like, you know, not kind of acknowledge like, oh, U2, fucking Bono, fucking Moni, head in fucking blue glasses. It's like, there are like, some of their songs are sick. They slap. They're so talented. They are like lovely lads. They sell out the fucking Aviva Stadium. Like I was only watching a live performance of them the other day and I was like jaw to the floor. But like so many times you'll hear like U2 fucking, it's like, why can't we celebrate the most like popular band that our country has ever produced?
One of the most popular bands of all time, regardless of country. Yeah, they were the biggest rock band in the world.
They were they were fucking mentioned on Friends, for God's
sake.
They're
the biggest rock band in the world in the 80s. Like, it's like, they're not even Irish famous. They're like worldwide phenomenon famous.
And like, literally, I feel like this whole country hates the fuckers.
They do.
For no reason. And they're like, they met in school. They've stayed together. They've never had like drama really. Like, in the book, like, you know, it's like, what is your fucking problem? So I love that. I was like, that's how you can tell a good person. I was like, yes, I can name 10 songs that I have in playlists that I fucking listen to a lot. Like me and Pete Farrell once were just singing down the street, singing Spanish Eyes. It's a great U2 song. It's got In a Little While.
So after it all popped off, Marty, and like, you know, you were trending and all that kind of stuff, like, how were you feeling?
I'll be completely honest, I was more worried because like I've seen stuff about me before, like especially back when radio was kind of the main medium. And people used to actually WhatsApp, well, not WhatsApp, they'd actually SMS in things that were kind of like nasty that weren't public, but they nearly kind of hit harder because it's like, well, this is a direct text message. So it was more so my mum, and like she loves kind of like, you know, Dancing with the Stars, and she loves all the reality stuff, and she kind of sees how, you know, it can affect, negative things online can affect people based on what's happened before with the likes of, you know, Caroline Flack and stuff. And which was like, when that happened, like, I just thought that was so sad. And my mom kind of thought about me, obviously on a lot of a lower scale to Caroline Flack, but kind of was like, oh, I hope that, you know, that you never feel the need that you can't talk to us, and that if things were to get to you that much, that you would kind of anything you see online that you'd come to us. So when she went onto Twitter and saw her son was the number one trend, she thought that my song was doing really well. Until, yeah.
That's until so she, heartbreaking.
Until she clicked in to the what it was. And then, so the bit was, is that I was more worried about what she was worried about, you know? And you know, mums are mums. Like, it's like she, you can convince her, look, don't worry, mum, I'm going to work. I'm not going to get kidnapped. It's fine. Like, you know, you're everything that you're saying as in, you know, when you're growing up with your mother, they just worry about you. Yeah, so when it's so public and it's, and they obviously don't live with them anymore and all they can do is see all these things that people are saying about you. I knew she was reading them. That was the thing. And that was the bit. But she'd never seen that before, even though it has happened. So I just had to try convince her, like, this is kind of part of it. And to be fair, she was like, no, it shouldn't be part of it. And then I was like, actually, mom, you're right. Yeah. It shouldn't be. I think we excuse it. We excuse it that just because you put yourself out there and you get this sort of stuff back, we excuse it to go, oh, well, you know, I put out a podcast, so I deserve all this stuff said about me. And it's like, no, you don't. Like,
yeah, it's like, there's a difference between, like, you know, putting yourself out there and being spoken about, or people not agreeing with you, or people like not liking your podcast. Like, me and Lindsay know, like, it's like, our podcast isn't for everyone. That's grand. Go find a podcast. Go listen to True Crime Podcast. That's completely fine.
Yes.
But like, what isn't and should not be excused and to be part of it is being abused online and bullied. Like, that's not, that shouldn't be part of anyone's job. It's not a part of your job in fucking Spar or wherever the hell you work in some advertising agency. It's not like, well, you put yourself out there so we can all bully you in the work. No.
Well, I think everyone is up for it now. Like, I mean, you know, that people can go and, you know, everyone is. I think that's the kind of almost humanizing part of it, that like, it's not even just for people with a platform or people with this. It's, and it is more so if you do have a platform that people seem to like just want to sling all these words at you, but anyone is up for it. You know, like, I could get in a bus and film someone taking down their mask and like be like, oh, this girl works in this shop. And then I could put that up on my Twitter and it could go so viral and they're like, this fucking girl, how dare she? She's supposed to be a nurse, blah, blah, blah. But like, so it's crazy how like, and I think that's almost going to help aid and stop it, because it's just like, it's gotten so boring now. It's just so repetitive. Yeah. It's
especially when there's a new one every week.
Every
day. The thing is that they're actually starting to like weaken their own argument. If there's like someone being canceled every single week, people from the outside who aren't involved in that culture are like, hold on, you were so angry about Marty Guilfoyle last week, but now it's the It Girls. Yeah. Like, what?
And like, you see, it's like, yeah, it doesn't hold as much weight when it's constant. But my sister volunteers with your mum and she...
I know, she sent me the nicest message ever. And it was only when I'd replied to her that she told me that she volunteers with my mum. And I went back to my mum and I was like, oh my God, you're never going to guess who I'm talking to. And my mum was like going on about how lovely she was. Aww. And stuff. And I still didn't realize at that point you guys were related.
Yeah, I know. And like,
until
she was
like, I heard you're going on the podcast. And I was like, the podcast? What?
Oh, that's God.
I watched her story and I saw you and I was like, oh my God, that's my sisters.
I really have to flex on that more. I thought I didn't know if I'm like my sister who volunteers, may I add. But yeah, she was saying, because like when it was going on or just afterwards, my sister was saying that like she's, you know, had conversations with your mum loads and that your mum really is so proud of like you and who you are and the person that you are. So it must be so difficult as a mum. Like, I have a son. I can't imagine reading things online about my son that are like totally misrepresenting his character. Like, that must be like heartbreaking. And like, I remember I actually bumped into, I was with Claire Balding and I bumped into the goat house. We were walking down the street and we saw the goat house. I was like, no way, gas. And I was like running down the road and we were like set and like we got them on my Instagram. And then I was like, oh, Jesus, I feel like Marty Guilfoyle. And I was like, oh shit, now I'm part of the fucking thing. You know?
So that, oh my God, that came back to me actually, sorry. And given the fact that I've been in and all, like I completely ignored it. I was like, okay. Like, and it came back to me in a way that was real, like I should be angry at you.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it said. Obviously, it was something along the lines of that you said, I'm not Marty Guilfoyle in the goat house or something, because you were asked a question or something. Was on Alive maybe or something? I can't remember what it was.
I can't really remember, but I remember definitely referencing and making a joke about it. And then hindsight, I was like, oh shit. Because then people were like, I shared your video and then people were writing to me being like, didn't you fucking, weren't you a part of that whole thing? And I was like, I guess I was, but I think when something to your, like you're saying that you went so viral, it almost like turns, you were a meme. And I kind of like, it was like a verb or something. Did you know that I was like, oh, I'm Marty Guilfoyle or something.
But yeah, no, I
which
get
is not right.
This is why,
but it's like what, shows
no,
how
no,
I
no,
even...
No, hang on. No. This is where it has to be cleared up because there is a fine line, I think, between a bit of witty humor about a situation and then defamation. And the thing is that when it came back to me that you had said that, I literally was in my kitchen and I just kind of laughed. I was like, ha, I love it. And I joke about it too, you know, that kind of way.
Well, like, you have to. Like you have that. Yeah, the power of like making it, giving, like taking the weight away from it is by making it a joke almost and owning it as a joke as well. Like not, like of course, as you're saying, you're not going to own the defamation part of it. And Lindsay and I don't own like some of the terrible stuff that's been made about us. But like there was a diss track made about us by this guy who was like, the it girls, you're so terrible. And like, I was like, that is absolutely
that was the shit girls, wasn't it, the ick girls.
And I was lolling at that, but it is, I definitely do think, but then I I think I got like in my head because I was like, oh shit, am I part of the thing? But I don't, I
no,
you know, I would never.
That's what I've been trying to get
someone
across to people. Yeah, I've been because like even like we're watching an episode of Simpsons, I mean, last week, and there was an episode where like the old grandpa walked into the school or something like that. I was like, there's me going into the goat house. I was like, you have to joke about it, like,
yeah,
like kind of way. And so when that came back to me about you, I was like, nah, hold on, because like I was reading some tweets about me that I was genuinely in a heap laughing at.
I was like
Marty Guilfoyle, Steffi the Ban on tea, there was loads of ones that were just like funny, like absolutely gas.
And that actually I think helps it. Like, I mean, because humor is a healer. And I mean, we need to be like, I'm so obsessed with like preserving comedy. And like, I love the way that you have fought back and that you are like not scared. You're not scared to speak on it. You're not trying to be like, I acknowledge that maybe you've looked, you know, you're like, you're fighting back. And I think that is the alleviation and like making a joke of stuff. Like, which I also did with the last cancellation I spoke about. I was just like, I'm not taking this bullshit anymore. I'm going to freaking fight back and like try and pick apart how ridiculous this is. And then it's almost, you can make a joke out of it. It's humorous. And I think that does alleviate because it kind of like puts some air into the room. And we're, you know, instead of now like trying to knife each other, we're like lolling. And it's like, how ridiculous.
Well, it's any way to do it. It's like when someone is like literally coming out saying something that could actually ruin your career, that's when it gets a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But if someone wants to put together a witty joke about it, I'm kind of like, okay, you know what? I like that.
Yeah. I like that a lot. And like there's loads of tweets that Lindsay and I see about ourselves, which I crack up at. Like,
great. What was that one the other day that you posted?
Oh yeah, there was one because like our friend Jess Brennan got in a bit of heat over on Twitter a few weeks ago, and they were like those it girls and Jess Brennan must be the bored equivalent of being a McGregor fan. It's like, I can get it. It's funny.
So
you're
funny.
Not like trying to like, you know, take my money away from me or get me fired or like, you know,
or defame me.
Defame
or like,
me or say I'm doing something illegal. Like, it's like you're making a joke on Twitter, and like that is part of like putting yourself out there. You will be made fun of, and you have to be able to like, you have to be able to find the funniness in it and the joke. Because if me and Lindsay are out here saying we're a comedy podcast who make edgy jokes, we have to also acknowledge the edgy jokes made about us that are funny.
Absolutely.
So funny.
And like, those are the bits that are gas. Like, because like, there was one thread in particular where people, so obviously the trend came up, and then there was people who hadn't a clue who I was, which was fucking great because I was like, these are the kind of people that I want. These are the tweets I'm going to be reading right now. And it was like, logged on to see Marty Guilfoyle trending on Twitter. What the fuck is a Marty Guilfoyle? And it was someone commenting going, I was thinking the exact same thing. And I was like, I'm loving this. So
I know.
Yes. But like,
I love when you look on those trending things and there's always a few tweets being like, sorry, excuse me, who is the It Gals? Like,
or when they call us the It Gals, it really is like, it's just It Gals. But I always call, do you know what? We did like a good few years ago. We love calling them our unpaid interns because it really just changes the whole, instead of calling them like haters or that kind of thing, I'm like, they regardless of the saying, and it goes back to that Andy Warhol saying, like, no publicity is bad publicity. Regardless, you are like keeping us relevant. You know, you're pushing out, and like, as long as that, what we're like, because what we're doing with It Gals and what you want to do with your music is rooted back to the foundation of something that's like you actually want out there.
Mm-hmm.
It actually doesn't matter. So thank you so much. Like, I did a live the other day and it popped off, and like for the whole day yesterday, people were continuously talking about me, and I was like, oh, I just created a little bunch of unpaid interns to like clock in when I clocked out, and they're like tapping away and it's keeping the thing going without me even have to do anything.
Yeah.
So it is.
And
like,
the thing is that if they realize that, they probably do it less, because if they hate you that much that they're talking about you like that, if they, like, I hate saying that when people say stuff about that, that it does kind of contribute and kind of enhance your brand to an extent, because like, if you're trying to get yourself out there, they're helping you do that. So I'm not trying to encourage that people do that to help you. But I mean, at the end
of the
day,
ways. I mean, definitely with the joking and stuff like that. That's a great way.
Definitely the joking. Yeah, for sure. If they knew that, then they probably would do it less. It's like, yeah, they've given you an extra impression, an extra hit, an extra opportunity for you to maybe end up working with the brand of your dream, like, you know, the kind of way. And they don't understand that. And they probably would do it less if they knew that, because you're so confident in what you do and you know that you're not deliberately out to get somebody or cause upset, that you don't care what kind of people say about you.
I think the root of it is like, I mean, I'm not doing anything illegal.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
that's kind of, so
100%.
Like, I can definitely say like things that like people are like shocked over that sometimes I don't even agree with myself, but like, it's not illegal to do so. And I'm, you know, I'm very much into savoring the idea of conversation and being able to trip up and not be the biggest deal with like saying something that could be like, you know, it doesn't have to be attached to you forever. I find that really boring. But yeah, I think it's just like, as well, I found people through cancellations. You know, when you see someone, you're like, who are they? And then I've been like, oh, they have a podcast. Oh, yeah. And I'll follow them through the initial kind of me like finding out about them. You know, that I was like, oh, he's been called like this and that and this. And then I actually find that I think he's really interesting. And then he's gained a fan. So I think it all, you know, because I don't know, it's like, it's a difficult thing. I don't think it will stop soon. I think it's always existed. You know,
always exists. It's just I'm sure people did send letters back in the day, you know, kind of way. Just obviously not as much because it's so easy to do it now.
Or like, but they throw a brick in your window with like some hate mail. Really, yeah. Right, you know,
but true story for you. It happens obviously to the extent that it actually infects your insurance premium. People don't realize that. Like, I was, when I came out of college as a student, like, this is no joke, and I was like getting a renewal for my car. They were like, oh, you're still a student. And even though I was working with Spin throughout my college, my degree, like, I was like, no, not anymore. I'm full time with Spin. And they were like, oh, we just need to update that. We'll give you a buzz back. And they called me back and they wanted to charge me an extra €1,200 on top of my premium for the year, because as a broadcaster, you're liable to have your windscreen bricked.
Oh my God. That is insane.
So just to like give you like proper clarification, you saying it's so ripe, like it's so ripe to the extent that insurance companies are making money off it. Like.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
In the video, you made a really good point, which I thought also was a bit of like a comedic break, where you were talking about like, and it's interesting with your one, because obviously all the shit was going on and people were piling on and saying it was predatory and using all the usual hyperbole that they do and like, you know, fucking going off on one for whatever reason. And then the next day you're saying like loads of people started to make tweets as if it was like your obituary. And I saw some of them.
Oh yeah.
James Cavanaugh did one and I was like, girl, he ain't dead. It was like, I have known Marty Guilfoyle for many years. He has been nothing but nice. He was a beautiful man. It's like, he's not dead, but it was nice as well, though, I'm sure, because like that is a real rarity. And that, I think, is where people, what needs to happen with cancel culture. And as I said, it happened to our friend Jess Brennan the other week, and like her boyfriend came out and did a video defending her. And I think that is the kind of stuff that has to happen. Like, you can't, like, obviously there's some stuff that can happen, like, and it's happened to Lindsay and I, where like, you know, this goes viral and then we were like, okay, shit, we said something wrong there, that was bad, and you can apologize and all the rest. But like, not everything has to be held the same way, because there are stuff like our Movember stuff, which was ridiculous. And like, you have every right to stand up for yourself. And as Lindsay said, it's great that you're doing that. But I think that where people need to realize is that, like, you know, it's easy to send a hateful tweet, but it's actually harder to send like one in support. And it means so much, like, because you get so many messages in your DMs being like, just so you know, I don't think you did anything wrong. I think it's fine that you're in the go-days. Yeah. And you're like, can you tweet that, please? To all
the people. You're so right. Yeah, yeah. It's like, that's such a lovely DM. Is there any chance you could put that up?
I know, because it feels so like kind of cringe to like, and I have done it, but it feels, you know, when you're like, fuck, I really need to like balance this shit out. So, but it feels really like, if I'm screenshotting this DM and sharing it, then you feel really like self-serving, in the sense of like, see, not everyone thinks I'm like that. So if people were
you shouldn't feel like that either, you know.
Totally.
You really shouldn't. But that's the annoying thing, because you're not a bad person. You haven't done anything. The illegal thing to me is absolutely huge in this. It's like, we are looked after with laws to stop people doing certain things. And if you haven't done something illegal, how can someone accuse you of doing it when you haven't done it? Mm-hmm. So like, even with the house thing, there was two things that were said to me that kind of resonated with me. One was, even if you did have sexual relations with one of the girls, you haven't done anything illegal.
Yeah.
Now, obviously I didn't, but I'm like, I hate the way I have to even clarify that.
Yeah, of course, but like,
or want to, but even if I did, I still wasn't entitled to be called a pedophile or a predator or any of that.
And whether you did or you didn't, it's literally no one's business. You don't need to, like, I mean, it was, because again, like, it's not illegal. It's not illegal.
Yeah.
So what were they fucking talking about?
Exactly. And when people put out these things and talk about you, like saying those kind of, like, they're accusing you of illegal activity, which means you should be locked up. So that's the bit that's kind of like, whoa, you've gone too far. The second thing was that I found interesting, and it was DM'd to me again. And I was like, okay, I never thought about it like this, but I can't even reshare this because it makes me look so self-centered. But somebody messaged me going, hey, seeing what's going on, I hope you're okay. It's really upsetting because this is their words now, not mine. If you weren't 6'2" and built and looked a certain way, and you were whatever it was, like say 5'6" and 20 stone, I don't think you would have got this hate. Mm. And I was kind of thinking like, wow, that's interesting. So it was almost like they were saying that given a height or the way I looked or the way I was built, kind of gave me like a power. And I was kind of like, I kind of thought about it. And I was like, in a way, it does kind of make sense, you know?
Or maybe that, like, people were more wanting to get you because they want to look a certain way, a built guy, and they're like, oh, well, look at him. He thinks he's great. I know what I'll do. I'll tell him.
He's a stereotypical fuckboy.
Yeah, so
he's
going
to go in there and do what he does in there anyway. You know what I mean?
And again, that's another way of them like projecting their own, not only their own insecurities, but their own hatred over, like, maybe they got fucked over by some lad who looked vaguely like you, who also goes to the same gym as you. And oh, I know that kind of lad. You know what I mean? But it is all these, like, it's based a lot of it on stereotypes. And it's like, it's a projection of something that they have, you know, somehow had done the mental gymnastics to make it in their head. But like, yeah, if you were some like nerdy, skinny little guy who just happened to be like, it's like, say your man who fucking runs the Go House, your man Jake, like he like had to come on and be like, I'm 29. And everyone was like, what? Like, he's the same age as you, right? And he is like, I mean, I'm sure he would say like, he's kind of like, you know, like nerdy, kind of like edgy, hipstery looking guy. No one was saying it about him. No one, but they said it about you. And it was like such a double standard, you know, that way, which is so bizarre. And also like, the thing that really fucking pisses me off about it, and I said it earlier on, but I'll say it again, is that like, they think they're protecting these girls, but they're actually just patronizing them so much. Like, these girls are making a living off fucking TikTok. They know what they're doing. They also have parents. They probably also have managers. Like,
they do have managers. Yeah. Their managers were like, this is a good idea.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Of course. Like, so it's like, stop taking away not only their personal agency to be like, tell some creep to fuck off. Not that you are a creep, but like, if there was a creep in the house, like, don't stop telling them that they're not 14-year-old girls who are like, oh, like, they can be like, fuck off. But also they're like professional agency. Like, they're not like entering a house to like shag some DJ. Like, they're going in there to further their career. And as you said, even if that did happen, and like, you know, even if couples did come from the Goat House, they're all adults. Like, they, you know, you can't get children.
Well,
in
that's
these
no
houses.
One's. That's no one's business. Yeah, exactly. You know, like, I mean, a couple did come
in the Go House. There is.
Wasn't there something?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see it.
And
that guy's in his 20s.
Yeah.
And that guy's in his 20s. And like, I'm pretty sure Nia is like 19. And I'm like, fucking fair play. Like, they like each other. Let them do what the fuck they want. Like,
people meet in the workplace all the time. Like, that is how, like, I think it's like 70% of couples can meet in the workplace. Like,
it's just no one's business. And you know, it was a bunch of adults who could potentially consent or not consent. Like, I mean, it's just
Brazilian.
My worry is that, like, because it's social media and it's still not really understood as a job in Ireland, that if that kind of like mindset was taken into like a different like workplace, people would actually go, oh my God, like the same people who'd say, come at me or come at you guys. So say, for example, if we take my situation where people were like worried about an age gap and me living with them. So even though I was trying to tell people to me, it's a workplace, you get to the point where, well, hang on, okay. Say a 45-year-old guy who orders a cappuccino every morning from the same cafe goes in and there's an 18-year-old girl making that cappuccino. Is he allowed to ask her how her day is? Is he allowed, you know, like, converse with her, or does he have to literally just take the drink and leave? Like, it's kind of like gotten to the point where...
Allowed
if he
age?
even if he even goes, oh, how's your day while she's making it? What, does that make him a pedophile,
or a predator?
Just because, you
but
know,
like, I mean,
or
I
what
worked...
if she was like a 19 or 20 year old and a 45 year old man is coming in and they're getting on and they have like a rapport and it is a bit flirtatious and she seems to like, is he allowed to ask her out?
I guess that's like a moral decision for yourself, you know, which is not for anyone else to make. And I think like,
but I mean, again, it's not illegal.
No, totally.
You know,
and like when you talk about the workplace, like there, it's like there's such a, you know, it's almost like a purposeful kind of like intellectual decision they make to ignore the fact that there are literal age gaps in the workplace all the time. I worked in an ad agency and I remember before that I only ever worked in beauty and it was all like girls and pretty much all kind of my own age. But then when I moved to this ad agency, I remember being like, this is mad. There are literal men the age of my dad over there. Mm. And then you're on nights out with them when you're drinking with them. It's no big deal. It's like,
yeah, and you realize they're like,
that's the world, baby. Welcome.
But that,
you know?
Also really, I mean, I'm the same. I've been like, you know, I've been hanging out with like different ages, like for years. Like I love to have like different variants of friends and stuff like that. And like, you think like, so I remember it's such a like immature thought process. I remember like when I was in first year and I was like, oh my God, the 6 years are so tall. They look, they're adults. And then I think so many people like never stopped thinking that. Cause like I would have like, I can't be able to like have a conversation with a 50 year old, a 60 year old. And like, they're just as fun and youthful and like whatever. And like have, you know, you can so share this. There's not much of a differentiation between like, you know, I've been chatting to 50 year olds and they're like, I love a drink. Oh dear God, you'd want to know what I got up to in the restaurant. Like all this kind of stuff. And it's like, you actually can connect. It doesn't have to be like, oh, you're 50, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah, totally.
That's so, again, it goes back to the segregating and stuff.
Yeah, it's just it's just mad. If you were to literally put it in like other work situations, which what I looked at it as, that it just wouldn't be tolerated at all. Like it really wouldn't. And I think until social media, it's like, it's the same with you guys. It's kind of looked at as well. Okay, let's just step outside here and go, over the next 10 years, this is going to be like, there are kids in school. There are secondary kids, got school kids going. We probably wouldn't have done it when we were in secondary school. It's like, what you want to do when you grow up? So I want to be a fireman. I want to be a doctor. Like people nowadays, you're going to ask them what they want to do. And they're going to say, I want to be a YouTuber or I want to be a TikToker. And like, that is the reality. And the reality is that they can make money from that. They can have a family, they can support themselves. And why is it okay for someone to come and shout at you guys online? But it's not okay for someone to go into a restaurant and shout at a waiter saying the exact same thing, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because like I've always said this to people. I'm like, people come up to me on nights out, like when I'm DJing, and like, it's just someone roaring in your face. They could just be like, "You're shit. You're shit. Why are you so shit?" And I'm like, "Hang on a minute. Like, if this girl worked in, say, an ad agency, and I just walked in one day and went over to her desk, and I was like, you're shit, I'd be arrested."
Or your client rings you up and they're just like,
"Yeah, you would
shit.
Be arrested, literally. If that,
I'd be arrested. But it's okay for people to do it with us.
Like, online. It's okay. It's so weird that you can conduct yourself in such a way online on Twitter. But if you were to like take those tweets, and if those tweets, if you were walking in the street and someone came up, "You're a predator," and like all these people, like it would have been like insane. It's like pitchforks and like,
and they always love to say, "It's nothing I wouldn't say to their face."
Oh,
like,
they
funny
love
how it's never been said to my face though.
Like, never.
Literally, funny how not one person has ever come up to me and said this to my face whatsoever. It only lives on the internet.
And we've definitely walked past people who have tweeted about
us
or said something.
It's
about
Dublin.
It.
Like, come on, we don't live in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. It did happen to me once.
And really?
It was only last week as well.
Oh.
It was from a distance, because like this all happened in September, I do still get it. Like I get something daily from it still, but this was the only time it was in person. I was walking down Grafton Street, and because the Spin Studios are in town, and in the distance I just heard someone shout "pedo," and I was just like, I can't believe that just happened.
My God,
that is top of Grafton Street as I was walking down. So that was the only time it happened in person. But and bearing in mind that this did happen in September, so it's kind of like, wow. I kind of felt sorry for them because I was like, hang on a minute, like, you're still thinking about that?
But also, like, you're such a
loser. I was like, come on, like, Happy New Year. Like,
it happened to me. Kind of happened to me. Not anything bad that was said about me, but I was like, oh, whoa, what? Like, the internet is just so weird. I was on South William Street with my friend having like a sandwich on the steps, and all these seagulls were trying to, it was when you could eat outside, and all these seagulls and pigeons were trying to get around and get our food. And then these group of lads, like young lads, I say they were like, you know, 19, 20, whatever, they were walking down the street, and like one of them attempted to kick the pigeon. He like attempted to kick the pigeon. I was like, oh my God. And I was like, did you just try and kick a pigeon? He was like, yeah, I did, Marmalade Jade. And I was like, oh,
Marmalade
God.
Jade.
And then in my DMs, I had a DM later on that day in my like requests that said, I saw you kick a pigeon in town. And I was like, oh,
stop.
And I was like, you tried to kick the pigeon. I was like, oh God. Like, it's just wild. It's gas, but it's wild. But like, and I mean, and I'd say that like, it was weird walking down, but I've definitely seen, you know, groups of like kids on bikes and like someone's walking by and they're just like, pedo. Like, so it's, you know, it could, I'm obviously from like your background and very much so it could have been like related to seeing you and knowing about all that, but also, you could just get that from random people who shit.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah.
And it could it can also just like, because you're so hyper aware of it, if you heard that, you're like, they said it to me.
Yeah.
You know, that way.
That is
like,
also, yeah.
But like, I get what you mean, though. It's annoying that you even have to think that and you have to be even like, ugh,
and it could have been, you know, purposeful and
yeah.
You never know, but
which
it's just like.
So what's coming up music industry wise for you, Marty? Where's the music going?
Music went really well. Like, I ended up in the top 20 Irish singles chart at the end of the year, which was cool. Cause I was like, yo, Dermot Kennedy, how's here? Not Horan, what's happening, bros? I was like, are we all friends now? You know, So that was cool. Obviously they placed higher, but you know, we're not going to say that. We're just going to say we were all in the top 20.
That's well, we're all in the same group.
We're all in the same group. Yeah. So that was a nice surprise the other day. And like, that's the official chart. So it's kind of like, there's loads of charts out there and you have to use them to kind of big yourself up with what you're doing. But when the official charts come in and they go, okay, you're part of that, then you can pop up with a bottle of champagne for sure.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I have a shitload of demos there that have been sent to labels who've shown interest that are dream come true labels.
Amazing.
And it's funny because between Zooms and stuff, like, it probably would have been a meant a trip to their office in wherever it might have been, London or whatever city they're in. But obviously it was done through Zoom. But yeah, I'm just hoping now, because two of them are like really interested, and I'm just kind of hoping that they're just not being teasers. and that they really, because they reached out to us, which was mental.
That's
absolutely
so cool.
Mental. So yeah, the demos are with them. Hopefully I'll be able to maybe get one or two out with them and then just see what happens. So
amazing.
Yeah.
Deadly. And then hopefully maybe we'll get a festival next summer and me and Lindsay will be fist pumping up front.
Yeah. Ooh. Or we could share a stage one day.
Longitude, yeah.
Longitude and EP. I mean, like, Dennis Desmond, the owner of MCD, came out saying he's confident they're gonna go ahead.
Yeah.
And that we can expect the EP lineup around Paddy's Day.
Amazing.
That is so exciting.
And the Longitude lineup is so good. So.
Because
I'm really
unreal. I've been watching so many like live festivals of like my favorite bands, and it's just like, get me back there, please.
No, but like, as someone as a DJ, and we're like thinking of maybe, you know, doing some sort of an Asia tour before things come back in Ireland, because things are back open there. So I'm following DJs who are on tour in Asia, and
cool.
People are sweating on each other. People are like riding each other in the clubs, and you're like, oh my God, like, remember those days? Like,
Australia, you could probably do as well, right? They're kind of back open as normal.
Yeah,
no, I don't think you can get in.
Obviously,
there,
it's like,
you have to quarantine like for 2 weeks in a
work,
hotel.
Though, maybe not.
I think with the quarantine, you have to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that you're put in a hotel for 2 weeks.
You're put in a hotel, yeah.
You're put, and there's a guard at your door, and they knock on the door to get, and your food is there. You can't.
Yeah, they hand you your food through like a little air box.
Yeah, yeah. They knock like 3 times, and then you have to wait 10 minutes before you can open just to make sure they're gone.
It's mad. And I think when New Zealand, the quarantine comes like a 4,000 whatever it is equivalent like euro, like admission fee nearly to the country as part of your quarantine.
And don't New Zealand have like, they have an island where they're sending people? That's what I heard.
I'm not joking, this was a proposed idea. That's so bad.
They had a proposed idea.
God, I would have been there.
Of an island. No, literally, you would.
Me on Ireland's eye.
And you're not allowed to leave. Yeah. You're not allowed to leave until, literally not allowed to leave until you present a negative test.
Oh God.
I'm like, and everyone's like,
imagine everyone that got cancelled in Ireland got sent to an island. Like,
that would be one fun island.
How fun would that island
and we
be?
All do,
oh
and
my God.
We all do ayahuasca and just like really learn through the experience.
Yeah, I would love that so much.
Okay, now that would be a show.
Now, there
Beck
is a
the
TV
goat
show.
There
is
Beck
a TV
the goat
show.
House. That would be an unreal show.
I'm like, I'm already planning my slagging for Movember now next year, so I can hop on that island.
Yes.
I know. I'm like, should I do Movember? Because dear God, I can grow a tash.
I actually got a bit of hate. I got a bit of hate where they Second lockdown, when I was like drinking like by the canal, I was getting hate being like, that mermaid Jade one hanging out with a bunch of teenagers. I was like,
Oh my God, you actually got.
I was like, they're 25. It was my friend who just happens to look young. She's 30.
Oh, wow.
Like,
that's great. Ask her what she's using, please. And thanks. Like,
Exactly. Okay, Marty, we won't keep you any longer. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a great old chat.
Such a good chat. They're going to love it.
Yes, guys, go check out our Instagram. We will have Marty's video linked and his Instagram and all that kind of
hope
shit.
Hope you learned and just like be a bit more mindful with what you're, how you conduct yourself online. And I mean, I'm still learning as well. Like, it's, we're not like above in that regard, but like, but yeah, I definitely learned from you. Thanks so much.
And if anybody wants to take anything out of context from this podcast, can they include your podcast link and my latest single? That'd be great.
Exactly.
Just fucking tag
stream
us,
Marty's latest single, girls.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much, Marty. Talk to you later.